Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Nick Martyr, who's the Assistant Vice President of Admissions at Vaughan College of Aeronautics and Technology, located in beautiful East Elmhurst, New York, right there near LaGuardia Airport. Nick, thank you so much for coming on the show here today. How are you?
John, thanks so much for having me. Really looking forward to it.
Well, the feeling is mutual, Nick. Thank you so much. And can you provide us with an overview of Vaughan College's most distinctive academic programs? And what sets them apart, Nick, from other colleges and universities?
Sure. So, I mean, right in the name of the college, you know, Vaughan College of Aeronautics and Technology, we're trying to spoon feed you a little bit about who we are and the industries that we serve. So unsurprisingly, flight is a big portion for us, you know, so we have a really built out aircraft operations and aeronautical science programs that really gear towards people that would like to be pilots. I can go a little bit more into detail on those in a moment, but our flight program is sort of a flagship for us. But really, from our founding in 1932, being right next to LaGuardia Airport, we've always had a really robust program for students that are looking to be mechanics or maintenance technicians. So we have a full real associate's degree that is tied towards folks that want to be a mechanic. And it's great because with that associate's degree comes all the benefits of state and federal funding. So really, there's a bunch of different programs in all sorts of spaces within the aviation industry. But the end technology in Vaughan College of Aeronautics and Technology is sometimes the thing that I think can get overlooked. We've got tremendous programs in those engineering spaces and technology spaces. One of our most token, you know, programs in that space is our mechatronic engineering program. Mechatronic engineering is really, you know, a flagship program in the engineering space for us because it's just a fusion of, you know, it's robotics engineering essentially. So it's computer and electrical engineering fused with a little bit of mechanical engineering for people that want to work in robotics. And it's a space that is in such high demand because making things efficient and automated and robotics in general is a field that it's just increasing from vehicle production, Tesla, SpaceX, and hundreds of other companies are just trying to get more efficient. So robotics and robotic engineering through mechatronic engineering is a really exciting path. And then we're really taking advantage of those other hot topics like AI and cybersecurity through our computer engineering and our computer science programming. We've got drone certification programs, UAV, you know, certification programs. And we're actually one of only 31 colleges in the country that have an air traffic control. So it's an ATC, CTI, which stands for Collegiate Training Initiative. It's actually built in through 11 of our different degree offerings here. And I think the biggest thing to know about that is people that want to be an air traffic controller, which is a tremendously sought after, you know, field right now. LaGuardia right across the street is at about 54% capacity as far as, you know, where they are staffed. The average salary in that tower is about $148,000 per year, and they can't find enough qualified people. So to have 11 of our different degree offering programs able to take advantage of all the ATC sim labs and the, you know, all the things you need to become an air traffic controller, we're one of only 31 schools in the country that offer that. So in that aviation space, technology space, we do a little bit of everything to serve those industries.
Well, that's terrific, Nick. You gave us so much to chew on there. Robotics and robotics engineering, AI, drone certification program. Obviously, Vaughan is the nation's premier aviation and engineering school. So what else are the key strengths, Nick, of Vaughan College's engineering, aviation, and technology programs that you could share with us?
Yeah, so if people aren't super familiar with Vaughan College, we're a small school. We're one real long building that's not super tall because, again, we are about a stone's throw away from LaGuardia Airport. It's a small campus. We have about 1,200 enrolled students, hyper-focused in those aviation and technology spaces. So it's easy to overlook how ridiculously high-end our engineering and technology lab spaces are. Students are working immediately. in these lab spaces. There's 11 or 12 labs right on campus. We have flight simulators, a lot of hands-on experiences from day one. And working with the FAA so closely in some of those aviation programs, we have to work really collaboratively to make sure that students are getting everything they need to be in compliance. So you get a lot of high-tech, high-end technology to use from day one that I think really sets us apart. I think the co-curricular nature of our students is, you know, really, it really kind of fuses the academics and the student life together. We have drone, robotics, maintenance clubs that actually compete worldwide. So I actually had the opportunity to go to Dallas, Texas this May, where I got to be exposed to some of the best high school minds from not just the country, not just the area, from across the world, that actually compete through an organization called Vex Robotics. Very, very popular on the high school side, but there's also a collegiate area as well. Sure. So I flew down to the high schools, you know, in May to see the high schools compete. But, you know, then we got to cheer on, you know, Vaughn a few days later in the college competition. And for such a small school, we're a powerhouse, you know. So in 2016, Vaughn College won the world's competition in robotics. Every single year since the robotics club has come into existence, we have made the world's competition. And I, you know, we're talking about some of the premier institutions in the country. You know, your Purdue's, your Rutgers, your some really wonderful institutions. We're able to be fortunate, you know, to be competing right with them. And obviously, we're a real small school in that space. So our students are living and breathing what they're learning in the classroom through their student life experiences. And I think just what they get out of their college experience outside the classroom is equally as important as what they learn inside the classroom. And then the last thing I'll say is our career placement is just phenomenal. I think it's kind of it's like the beginning and the end. When you walk on campus, you're greeted almost immediately by our admissions office. And then standing right next to it is our career development office. It's kind of the beginning and the end, sort of symbolically placed together. So, I mean, we want to make sure that we're walking the walk through the entire duration of a student's experience. So having that career placement and that exposure to some of the biggest, you know, industries and some of the biggest employers, not only in New York, but the nation, are really right in our backyard.
Well, Nick, as you know, there are so many more students nowadays that are really interested in robotics, engineering, AI, drone programs, and so much more. And it's exactly what Vaughn offers. And, you know, you mentioned the career placements, and I was just curious, with LaGuardia Airport right across the street, could you just elaborate a little bit in terms of your internship opportunities and even job placement opportunities? What does that look like in terms of working so closely with LaGuardia Airport?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we have, you know, this is obviously speaking closer to the aviation space, you know, more exclusively, but we have a lot of, you know, employer and partner network programs, you know, through some of these huge companies. A couple examples is JetBlue. We're part of their Gateway program, which really is kind of a direct hire program. Atlas Air, you might not be flying it commercially, but it's one of the biggest commercial, you know, liners in the country for, you know, cargo. And they, Vaughn graduates make up over 10% of all their pilots.
Wow.
so we're part of their pipeline program. There's Able Airlines hiring pathway. There's Delta Tech Ops. We're part of Endeavor Air's pathway program. And then we've actually got some partnership programs even through things like NASA as well, you know, and LaGuardia's Gateway Partners program. So we are extremely well connected in those spaces, both because of LaGuardia and then some outside industries there too.
Well, that's great. And in terms of the aviation, Nick, what would you say in terms of, like, if I want to be a pilot, right? You mentioned that you have pilots right there at LaGuardia. So after graduating from Vaughn, what additional requirements would I need in terms of hours or any other training?
So this is such an important question. And I think it's one that we really try to tackle the expectations of this program really early on. Because being a pilot is a really cool thing to do. That's one of those few careers where, you know, you can be 5 years old and want to be a pilot, and that can stick with you all the way through the time when you're going to college. So it's one of those ones that's a little bit mysterious, though, right? Because you can forego going to college and become a pilot. It is possible. We don't suggest that, of course, because we offer it. But way beyond that, it's complicated. It's complicated. And you know, our pathway and our curriculum really just is designed for you to be successful. So in our aircraft operations major at the college, it's kind of the, you know, token major that we offer for being a pilot. We do have a second program that I'll mention in a moment. But for aircraft operations, in that program. It's a 4-year bachelor's degree program. But along the way, you are flying week one of classes. Mm. You're an 18-year-old coming into college, and you're flying week one. We've got a direct partnership. I know this is hosted out of Long Island, but you know, the podcast anyway, but you know, we have you know, a direct partnership actually with Heritage Flight Academy out of Ronkonkoma on Long Island. Mm-hmm. So it's the perks of having that direct partnership is that students get that flight time. They can book it out 10 weeks in advance, which is really important because in New York, as you may know, you get inconsistent weather. So there'll be cancellations and things like that, you know. So having that ability to book flight time early and often is incredibly important. And the reason I mention this is because the hardest part about being an aircraft operations student is making sure that you stay diligent and stay focused, because you're a full-time college student getting a full academic, you know, curriculum. But along the way, you're actually expected to be acquiring 5 different licenses or certifications, and you're going to be accruing flight time over the course of your entire career. So the reason I said that it's important, I think, to go to college to do a program like this is we are one of the schools that has the RATP designation through the FAA. And again, that's RATP. Basically, it's reduced airtime. So it's an agreement, essentially, that because you're at a school like Vaughn that has such a great reputation, has simulation labs, is really entrenched in the industry, it's an agreement that your required flight time is actually shrunk down from 1500 hours to 1000 hours over the course of your entire, you know, time before you can be, you know, ready to fly for one of those airlines I mentioned before. So those 5 licenses that you actually receive along the way include your private pilot license that you'll knock out earlier on. You'll get your instrumental license, commercial license, and then you get your flight instructor 1 and flight instructor 2 licenses. Those are great because once you get those, you can actually no longer have to pay to fly. You can actually get paid to fly and be a flight instructor for the younger students. And then you also have the opportunity to get your multi-engine license too. So you can get 6 different licenses, be flying the entire time, and then be very well on your way to being that commercial airline pilot by the time you leave us with your 4-year degree. And you'll just be knocking out a few more flight hours and getting paid to accrue those flight hours at that time.
So I just want to repeat that, Nick, if you don't mind. I just want to make sure. So you're saying as an older student, you could get to the point where you're flying to help younger students in, obviously, aeronautics while making money and yet still earning the hours that you need for your own degree. Is that correct?
Exactly.
That's
exactly
a win-win.
Right. And it's so important because the thing that, you know, we try to be very transparent on, we are not making money on students' flight time. It is getting paid right to our partner. But it's a very expensive endeavor. You need to really invest in it. So similar, you have to look at it very similarly to if you're going to school to be a lawyer or a doctor. It won't take you as long here, you know, at the program like this, but it's an upfront investment because we try to be extremely competitive when it comes to the cost of tuition. We're lucky to be one of the most affordable private institutions in the New York metro area. That said, you know, the flight time it costs money, you know, so over the course of your 4 years, we give students the expectation that it will be an additional $75,000 to $80,000 over the course of the 4 years, in addition to whatever is left in tuition.
Well, that's amazing. And so obviously, Vaughn College is the nation's premier aviation and engineering school. So Nick, what kind of student would you say thrives at Vaughn? And what are the qualities that you're looking for in your applicants?
Yeah, for our students, it's a really cool place to work because those who are here in this building, they all have some similarity with one another, you know, and it's something you don't see at too many different institutions because of how diversified many of our, you know, peers are. Ours are all serving the aviation industries or technology industries, and there is a good amount and growing amount of overlap between those two things. But I think a disciplined person is something I like to kind of say out there. It's kind of piggybacking off the answer to that last question. We want to make sure that students are knowing what they're getting into. I try to paint the picture that if you're looking to be a pilot, it's almost like completing a degree and a half in 4 years because you're doing 2 things at once. So somebody who's focused and disciplined is really important, you know, at the end of the day. And then we have a lot of students that are interested in that ROI and that career space, you know, because not everyone wants to be a pilot, and that's fine. You know, so we have people that really just need a high school equivalency. You know, we're so lucky, and I might be jumping around a little bit here, but I've got a great job here in admissions because I've got the opportunity to say yes to almost everyone that applies. And the reason I can say that isn't because we give acceptances out to every student, to every program they want, no review required. That's not the case. What is the case is that we have associate degree programming and some other programming in bachelor's degrees that's kind of a building block onto some of our programs. So an example there would be for someone who wants to do mechatronic engineering. If we don't feel they're quite up to snuff with some of the readiness as far as what that program will demand out of the gate, we have a mechanical engineering technology program that's a little bit less math science oriented in the beginning. It's allowed to, you know, if they do well in that program for, you know, a year, you can get right into mechatronic engineering. If we think you might be missing some really foundational building blocks, we also have a pre-engineering program that's an associate's degree program. So we have a suite of majors that really allow for students to get to where they want to be. But those students that know where they want to be and just need to get there, we just need somebody who's focused and serious in what they're trying to do, because we definitely have the pathway for them.
Well, that's awesome. So I just want to repeat, if someone perhaps doesn't have the mathematical skills for mechatronic engineering, you have a pre-engineering program, which is an associate's. Obviously, if the students do well there, then they have the opportunity to go on to the bachelor's later on, correct?
Absolutely. And it's an easy, quick transition. And it's really meant to get them to their end goal.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And Nick, what about the campus culture? Can you describe what it's like at Vaughn? And how do students typically engage outside of the classroom?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of opportunity for that. We've got, some people don't know this, we have a full 200-bed residence hall here on campus. So it's a relatively small portion of our community, but those are a really, you know, tight cohort of students. We've got, you know, a solid international student population as well. And I think kind of mentioning, you know, before about the unique nature of almost everyone under our roof has some common interest together. Really does a lot in terms of allowing students to, you know, talk shop about their programs, allows them to have common interests, make friends. They're going to be in a lot of the same classes together, whether they're in the same major or not. And then really outside of the classroom, we've got, you know, fraternity life. We've got, you know, intramural athletics. We've got a ton of clubs and organizations, you know, so there's a lot to do, of course, inside and outside the classroom. I do think that we're lucky in the fact that we have students that are going to have a lot of common interests to really make making friends and connections easier than at most places.
Well, that's terrific. And I would imagine that a lot of people, as you said earlier, have the same interests. So by default, you're going to find a lot of like-minded people at Vaughn to obviously build that community around. So let's dig in a little bit in the application review process, Nick. What are the most important factors you consider when reviewing applications, and how does Vaughn balance academic with extracurricular involvement?
So I think when it comes to reviewing applications, for us, a lot of it is just based on having those foundational building blocks that I mentioned earlier. So not to get too in the nitty-gritty, but if you're looking into one of our tech-type programs, so anything in engineering technology, engineering, computer science, some of those, you know, tech STEM focused majors, we're going to want to see at least pre-calculus in high school. You know, you don't have to have it completed before you apply, but it's going to be really important for you to have that at least during your senior year, preferably calculus. It'll make the transition to calculus when you get here that much easier, but pre-calc tends to do it. And then ideally, we would like to see physics as well. Just because we won't be able to escape them too easily in those majors once you get going here. So to have that exposure in high school is incredibly important. And that has a lot to do with how we'll end up placing students into their programs. So unlike some schools, again, because we're able to say yes so often, if you apply into one of our programs and we think you'd be a great fit for Vaughn, but maybe not quite the right fit for the program you intended to apply, we actually refer students to some of the other support programs. So they get an acceptance into a program that might look a little bit different from the one that they applied into. And then we reach out to talk to them about how we think they can get there to their end goal. So that foundation in the math and science is really important for those majors. Overall, that solid B student and higher is kind of something we look for as far as the transcript is concerned. But of course, you know, anybody who's listened to more episodes of this is probably familiar. It's not always about the number. It's how you get there. We look at things like your academic trends. Did you struggle early on, but you've been a great student in your last couple of years? Is there a reason that something might have happened that we need to know about? We'll take those things into consideration too. A little blip on your radar won't be, an end-all be-all as far as our review process goes. Really, contrary to popular belief sometimes, in admissions, we are looking for reasons to say yes. So really, at the end of the day, we're looking to make sure you're a good fit for the program you applied for.
Well, I appreciate that. Like you said, if you end up having a little bit of a bump, let's say in freshman year, but you bounce back, that's something that you certainly take into consideration. Again, you are admissions officers, not rejection officers. So you're looking to say yes more and more. And I appreciate some of the examples that you gave. For example, if you're coming into a STEM major, you need to have at least pre-calculus, preferably having that calculus in high school, and of course, physics, right? So that you're showing that you have a foundation in terms of the courses that surely will come once you're at Vaughn. So let's dig a little deeper in terms of the application, Nick. How does Vaughn approach standardized testing in the application process? And is there a test optional policy or specific weight given to test scores?
Sure. So, like most of our peer institutions, nowadays we are a school that is test optional. So meaning that if you do submit your test scores, we will consider them into your application review. The level of the scores do vary a little bit depending on the program that you're looking to enroll into. However, we do use SAT or ACT scores to sometimes wave students through an eventual placement test they'd get to make sure they're in the appropriate math or English courses when they get here, but you don't get preferential treatment either way, whether you apply test optional or you send in your scores. So we'll consider your application based on the quality of the application itself, your supporting documents like a letter of recommendation, your college essay, and then of course your high school transcript to make our best decision on your acceptance into a program. But if you do submit SAT or ACT scores, we will gladly accept them. And for us, we try to say, for the most part, if you have that 550 or higher in a math section, it gives us a good indication that you're likely, ready for most of our programs that we have here. But again, it's a little bit case by case. It's not it's not a one size fits all. But typically, we look for that 1050 to an 1100 as kind of a starting point for those who want to submit an SAT, and then about a 21 composite score for an ACT.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you talked about your test optional, but of course, the numbers may vary depending on the program that you're actually applying to. And Nick, what advice would you give to a prospective student to make their application stand out? And are there any common mistakes that you're seeing in the applications?
So I think one of the biggest things, and I've had the privilege of working at several schools, but I think the biggest thing I've noticed in the last few years, more than maybe when I began my career, is I find some students have a little bit of a hard time bragging about themselves. So if you're ever going to find a time to not be as humble, do it in your college application. But you need to find that balance, though. So I've seen a couple of different extremes, right? So there's some students that I've interviewed or talked to or had an appointment with or met at a college fair that were talking to me about all the great work they were doing, the things that aligned so well with their career goals. And then I go on to read their application a month or two later, and I don't see them in the application. So make sure you're highlighting your achievements, even if you don't think they're, necessarily brag-worthy. A lot of times they are, especially if they're having to do or tied into any of your career aspirations. Perfect example being somebody seeking their private pilot license. They might look at it as a hobby at that point. That's demonstrated interest in my eyes. But, at the same time, find that balance, right? And I bring up a kind of lighthearted joke because I have seen students trying to fill out their interest sheet or their activity sheet on an application, whether it be a native application or the common application, and list things like taking out the garbage 3 times a week. For us, that's more of a family responsibility than something you do as being part of a family. So you got to find that balance. But please, make sure you brag about yourself when appropriate.
Well, we appreciate that. And yes, as part of the application process, students, it's very important to brag about yourself. Even if you are humble during the application, it's not the time to be humble. And speaking of that, Nick, how does Vaughn assess the personal statement or essay portions of the application? And what makes a compelling and effective essay for your review?
Okay, so I've got the privilege to do several different SA boot camps throughout the year, and it's something I really love talking about. I think that students stress about it just because it's a huge part of the college essay, and it's freeing and you can do so much with it, but you're not given as much direction as other parts of an application. So using your voice is really necessary, and it might sound a bit corny or cliche, but you want to make sure that your voice is the one that's captured, because if you're treating it like, you know, maybe an assignment that you're given that you don't really have any vested interest in, typically that comes across in your writing. And it's hard to fool a reader if you're not interested in what you're speaking about. So, you know, and another thing is just being direct. You know, we don't have too much time to read. So you want to make sure in, you know, a common application, for example, where you only have 650 words to convey your point, make sure that we're not guessing what your essay is going to be about by the time the introduction is over. I think it's sometimes contrary to how students are taught to write in English classes. And that's not a knock on English classes, but a lot of times, you know, in some of those courses, you're really working on being more descriptive and elaborative and, you know, making sure that you're increasing that style of writing. Here, with only 650 words, for us to get to know who you are, you want to make sure that you're direct, getting to a point, and your voice is really being used. So I think that's really my key takeaway there. And just don't stress. We just want to know about you.
Absolutely. Don't stress. And we've heard it before. Students, use your authentic voice. Don't use words that you wouldn't use in everyday language. Otherwise, people like Nick will see right through it that perhaps you had someone writing the essay for you. So again, use that authentic voice. And Nick, what types of financial aid and scholarship opportunities are available at Vaughn? And are there specific scholarships that align with particular academic interests or career goals? This is a question that obviously is very important to so many students and their families.
So we really have a lot of scholarship opportunities for students. At Vaughn College, we actually have a very high percentage of our students that are what you consider Pell eligible. They're some of the most needy, you know, students out there, financially needy students out there. And we make it work. And I think that's the biggest thing that we try to relay to students. We're here to make sure that your dream's achievable and finances don't stand in the way. Affordability is really huge for us. Again, we're fortunate to be able to claim we are, I think, the second most affordable private institution in the New York City metro area as it stands. But that's not enough. Private schools are expensive, and we get that. So all students that are applying for bachelor's degree programs, where we have a little bit more of an academic metric that we're going to be looking at, will be considered for merit-based scholarships and also housing scholarships. So between the two, just for a little bit of reference, our sticker price, let's call it, is just under $30,000 per year without any assistance. So between merit-based scholarships and housing scholarships, students can get about $20,000 in just merit-based aid, where we look at your overall academic performance. But we also have a lot of students that, you know, of course, we suggest apply for FAFSA. And if you're in New York, you know, New York State TAP. And we also have a lot of opportunity programs, too. So a couple that come to mind, we've got a really vibrant HEOP program, the HEOP program, which is the Higher Education Opportunity Program. This is really looking at us to make sure we're serving students that might be socioeconomically underserved, as well as academically disadvantaged as well. So it's really making sure that we can take those students, develop them into really great, successful college students. And that grant itself has over 100 students of the college enrolled in it. And we have, you know, a really high success rate in making sure that those students get really great housing scholarships, additional funding, tutoring available, just to make sure that, you know, again, it's affordable. And then a couple other things, you know, we have some institutional grants, and we have in these STEM spaces, and us being what is considered an HSI. So we've got a Hispanic serving institution is the designation there. I'm sorry if I'm speaking in admissions lingo, but we have a lot of grant funding that are available too. So one of them is for our computer engineering program. We've got a grant awarded to us where students get amazing, you know, opportunities to be connected to things like conferences and more. But each of those students that is accepted into computer engineering, whatever you qualify for a merit-based scholarship, the federal grant will also give you an additional $10,000 on top of your scholarship. just for coming to Vaughn College Computer Engineering. So we're very heavy in those grant spaces too that help subsidize cost of education.
Well, there's definitely a lot of help in terms of financial aid and your scholarships. And Nick, you know that I always put the Office of Admissions in the show notes. If there are any other links that you want to include for our students and their parents, please just send them to me. And of course, we'll make them available in the show notes. A lot of people talk about that first year transition from high school to college. So Nick, how does Vaughn support first year students in that transition, both academically and personally?
So we actually have a couple things that I think are really important to help students succeed in that new beginning into college. A very high percentage of our students are actually first generation students too, where they don't have family that have been to college. And whether you're first generation or not, I think it's really important to make sure those supports are available. We're a relatively small institution, like I said, about 1,200 students overall enrollment. That doesn't mean you can't get lost in college, though. There's a lot of college lingo, you know, for people that are unfamiliar with registrar's offices and bursar's offices and things that aren't used in the real world outside of higher education. We've got a really great built out FYE course, which is our first year experience that all of our students are required to take in their first semester. It's not going to be a hard course, but it's really going to make sure that you know you have all the tools available to you to make yourself a successful Vaughn student. And that's, you know, it goes through navigating technology to what kind of tutoring and career services there are, and just really kind of takes you through the gamut of everything that's available to students through their first semester. And then another big thing is, you know, as a school that has a bunch of programs that are heavily tied into FAA and federal requirements, we have one-on-one advisement available and suggested for every single semester, certainly including that first semester. So no student's ever building their first semester schedule by themselves. They work with an advisor either through Zoom or in person to really understand what they're getting into, what the program specifics are, what any kind of potential federal requirements might be, just to make sure no one's getting lost or, you know, off on the wrong foot to get things started. So those are some of the biggest things I think we do to make sure that first year students are having a successful transition.
Well, those are important things. And I like to ask this question because I want parents and students to hear it so that when they're doing their research, they're mindful about asking such a question. You know, kids are coming from multiple high schools from throughout the state of New York, throughout the country, and then they come to this beautiful thing called Vaughn in this case. So what is it that you do to help them to continue to be successful once they're on your campus? So whether it's academic advising, specific courses, whatever it is to build that community, it's very important to know students and families, you know, what's available at the different schools. Nick, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I can't thank you enough for being here with us today. Before I get to the last question, I have to ask, is there a question I didn't ask or a topic that I simply didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
So I think the one thing maybe I didn't bring up is just how in demand some of the jobs are in the majors that we offer, in the industries that we serve. The job projections are truly fantastic, and they just keep growing. One example is over the next 20 years, quite literally hundreds of thousands of jobs from pilots to maintenance technicians, and even jobs that haven't quite been created yet. Are all going to be available to students. And I think when I say that, I've got a couple, you know, really good examples of kind of merging those fields like STEM and technology that we offer with the fields of aviation. So one example, in February, we were lucky enough to partner with a company called Joby Aviation. They're in the building stages. They are an electric. It's not a helicopter and it's not a drone. Those are the words I can't use there. But it's called an eVTOL. So it's an electrical vertical takeoff. Vehicle that is completely electric. So they're using state-of-the-art technology. They are building, you know, aircrafts that are piloted to bring people from point A to point B. They're already being tested on military bases. They're in partnership with companies like Delta and Uber. And they visited New York in February and actually stationed their 50-foot sim lab on our campus for a week and a half to work with, you know, New York City, New York State legislation, media companies. We had high schools joining us for virtual, you know, sim lab tours where they could fly these eVTOL aircrafts.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. And I mean, it's so state of the art. It looks futuristic still. But if you're ever curious, you know, they've been some great partners to us and we look forward to working with them in the future. Joby Aviation is J-O-B-Y. And we partnered with them. And again, that's that state of the art technology kind of fusing those aviation and STEM areas together.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of innovation, and you know, at Vaughn, you're never stagnant. You're always looking for the next best thing. You and I know that no one is sure, right? 20 years from now, exactly what the jobs are, but you guys keep innovating and getting involved with different companies to give the best opportunities for your students, again, that are interested in aeronautics or, of course, engineering. Nick, this has been amazing. I'm so happy that I had you on. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
All right. So I didn't do my full homework here. I'm going to give you one. It's one that I have really important to me. It's followed me at every institution that I've worked for. Be careful basing your entire college search on rankings. And that's not because we don't have wonderful ones. We're ranked number one in the country when it comes to social mobility. But just be careful with rankings, because whether it's a company, you know, healthcare or colleges, you can really manipulate statistics, you know, to make you number one or top 10 in something. So there's no perfect school for every single student in the country. So visit, ask questions, try to stay away from rankings as your number one source of building your list, just because, you know, you might miss the perfect school if you're basing it just off of that. And again, we've got some really wonderful rankings. I use them all the time when I'm talking to students. But you want to be the one that's the decision maker, and excluding schools that maybe should be on your list because they aren't ranked by a certain website. I won't name them, but some of the websites that are used all the time in college searches, just because, you know, you might miss your school. You might miss your perfect school if it's not there. So, you know, again, I'm really proud of a lot of Vaughn's rankings, but just try to make sure you're giving that clean slate to yourself when you're going through the process. Just because, you know, there's a lot of tools out there, and just take advantage of them and ask questions.
Well, I think asking questions and being mindful not to necessarily follow the rankings is actually great advice, because you might have a school that consistently shows up on the top 10, but perhaps they don't have the program you're looking to study. Perhaps you want a small school and they're a large school. Perhaps they're in an urban environment and you want a rural environment. Perhaps they're an airplane ride away from your house and you want to be within 3 hours from your house on a car ride. So exactly. Those are all the things, and there's a lot more that you need to take into consideration. For example, cost of attendance. That's another big consideration for so many students and their families. So it's not so much about the rankings. It's really what's the right fit for you. And by the way, if you're going to look at rankings, as many people do, perhaps the question is, how did they determine the rankings? What's the criteria that they use? And I think you'll be quite surprised in many cases what the criteria is. And it's something that you should look into if rankings is your thing. More importantly, Nick, you are awesome. This was terrific. I'm really happy, as I know it's going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate the college process. I do hope to have you again. Thank you so much, Nick.
John, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck with your college search. Take care all, and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast, presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success.